Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, please, just for two or three verses, and then we're going to turn to Mark's Gospel chapter 10. Paul is the writer here, and he's speaking to Christians, those who are saved. And look what he says in verse 12 of chapter 1 of Colossians, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or rendered us fit, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us," or separated us, "from the power of darkness, and hath translated," or transported us, "into the kingdom of his dear Son." We see a tremendous thing happening there, an event, being transported from one place and put into another place. Amen. And that's where you have to be if you're saved. You have to be translated or transported from darkness. We see the word darkness, and transported and placed into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what salvation is. We can't be saved by association, our family, influences, or anything else. We can't slide into salvation by coming to this meeting place every Sunday morning. It does not happen. You have to have a personal encounter with the only one who can save you. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometime in your life, you have to have a one-on-one personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way to be saved than that. I have a son. We have a son out in British Columbia who used to stand in the pulpit and preach. We were out to visit him 3 weeks ago. You know what one of his books in his library is now? Proof of Atheism. Stephen King books. Was he saved? I don't know. We need to know we're saved. We can fool everyone in this meeting place. Like our brother said, we could come here for our lifetime. And I'll ask you one question. Are you a fan? Fan of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you someone who is saved? Or a follower? Are you a fan or a follower? Brother John spoke on that a few months ago here. And as you read these stories, and we're going to read about blind Bartimaeus, there was a tremendous crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ. Look about Zacchaeus, a tremendous crowd about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the woman who reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Tremendous crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was only one who reached out and touched him. Blind Bartimaeus, a big crowd, but only blind Bartimaeus called out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A big crowd when Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus had a determination. He ran before the crowd. He outran the crowd, and he went up, crawled up a tree, because he wanted to see who the Lord is. You see what I'm getting at? You must have a personal encounter yourself. Not your family, not your parents, not your children. You must have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. A mediator is a go-between. The Lord Jesus Christ has the right to be your Savior. Why? Because he died for your sins. He died for the penalty that you should have paid. That is why we come to him. Many people say, well, I ask God to save me. We can't go around the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say, well, I believe about God. You do not believe about God if you don't believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. I and my Father are one. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for us. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. A simple little story, and we will be out of here in 15 minutes. Simple little story of blind Bartimaeus. The same story is already, it is preached in two of the other Gospels. Reading in at verse 45. "For even the Son of Man," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "came not to be ministered unto," not to be served, "but to serve," or minister, "and to give his life a ransom for many." And then he goes on to tell them a story about a blind man. We just read in Colossians about darkness. My friend, if you were blind this morning, you are in darkness. You cannot see what's going on. And here is a blind man who saw something that the whole nation of Israel couldn't see. And we're going to see that in a few moments. He called the Lord Jesus Christ the Son of David. And yet the whole nation of Israel, all they could see about the Lord Jesus, that he was Jesus of Nazareth. What was Nazareth? Nazareth was a despised city. That's why he was called the despised one, because that's where he lived after he was born, in Nazareth. But this man, who was blind, saw something more because he had a determination to know who he was. He had a need. He was blind and he wanted to see. And my friends, when we get to the place where we understand that we're lost and we're going to hell, we have a need that needs to be filled, we go to the one, the only one who can do it, can fill it. That is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to get to that place. I have people, heard of Christians saying, we don't have to take our place. All we have to do is believe. Do you know what? We have to believe that we're a sinner and we're not fit for God's heaven. And when we get to that place, then we can call out like Bartimaeus, like Zacchaeus, like this woman. They call out, they reach out, they have a determination, they diligently seek him. And the Bible says, if you seek me, you shall find me. But you'll not find them by association, by sort of floating in with the other Christians, because you're like these people in this crowd that surrounded the Lord Jesus. They loved the environment. They loved the feeling, the excitement, and so on, but they did not reach out, call out, or have a determination to know him on a personal basis. And that's our point this morning. You must have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ sometime in your life. Let's read the story. It goes on to say, and they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, there's the crowd, and with a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The only one who could understand that this was the Messiah. This was the future king who would sit on David's throne. How come he could see that? How come he had a desire to see that? We also heard this morning about one of the thieves who called out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. How did he understand that? Well, number one, he had a desire to. He had a need. He also heard. And listen to what it says here. Look at verse 47. And when he heard. Do you know what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. We have to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to hear about his salvation. We have to hear and understand who he is. And when that really clicks in, we're not blind anymore. We have a determination to know who he is. And when we have that, God already knows, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you seek me, you shall find me. But we have to do that first. And God will not beat anyone over the head with his big club. He will not drag you caveman style to heaven. He allows you to make a decision. He allows you to make a choice. And what's put before you is the message that God loves you. And he loved you so much that he gave his son. And his son, who never sinned, died for you. He died in your place. He shed his blood. He suffered. Imagine someone who never sinned. He was creator, sustainer of life. He died for you. And God asks you to believe that. I'm talking this morning to a brother here. He says, you know, I cannot understand salvation. I cannot understand his love and his mercy for me. And I said, no, and God does not expect us to understand it, but he asks us to what? To believe it. He just says, trust me, I'm telling you the truth, and that's what you live by day, that's how you're saved. The just shall live by faith. Every day you believe it, you trust it, that Christ died for my sins. I have now the righteousness of God in me. I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I come into all the blessings that God has for me. And that's because of what Christ has done for me. And look what it says here at verse 48. And when he charged him, that again is a crowd, that is the world. People will laugh. People will say, you're crazy, you're nuts, you're everything else. And then he charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, a great deal. That is, he had a determination. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says this, without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Read that verse and mark it in your Bible. If you have a diligence and you have a you seek in the Lord, he will show himself to you, even as Christians. We have to have a desire. And this man, he diligently was seeking the Lord. Not only once did he call out to the Lord, thou son of David. When the crowd tried to put him to silence, he cried out even the more. Why? Because he had a need. He knew he was blind. He knew he wanted to see. And he knew that this man, he heard about him. He knew he could heal him. And that's what we need to know. That Jesus Christ can save us from our sins. He can give us peace. We heard that this morning. You're not saved. You're like the troubled waters inside. There's something ripping at you, tearing in you, and that's why you're grasping and clawing for all kinds of things to satisfy you in this life. Because there's a vacuum, an emptiness that only Christ can fill. And when you seek him, you call out to him, he will fill that emptiness and give you a brand new desire. Let's go on to read. Look at verse 49. When the Lord knows that you have a determination, look what it says, and Jesus stood still. You imagine maybe 50, 100 people with him, and all of a sudden the Lord just stopped still. Stood still. Stopped. And then what happened? He said, you call him blind Bartimaeus. He said, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. There was a change in the people's attitude, wasn't there? One minute they wanted them to be quiet. Don't bother the Lord Jesus, you blind old man, you. And now the Lord calls out to him. Everything is stopped. The whole procession is stopped. He calls out to him, and they say, oh, well, come along. Rise and he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered, and he said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Just like the Lord asked all the other people, what do you want me to do? He knew what they wanted, but he wanted them to claim it. And we need to confess our sins and say, Lord, save me from my sins. Save me from my sin. I am a sinner. Save me from my sin. And Jesus answered, and he said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy what? Thy church, thy good works, thy faith. Thy faith. He said, I know that you are trusting me. I know that you know that I can heal you. I know that. You've been calling out to me. I know that. He says, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. Let me give you five little C words that begin with C. And a lot of people say, well, how come you're always giving headings? Number one, I'm 63 years old and I forget. So I have the heading so I will remember myself. And then I go away and I pray that someone may even remember one or two of them. And when they read that story, they can see that those are there. Let me just give number one, his condition. His condition in the first verses, we see that he was blind. You and I are blinded by the God of this world. We're living in darkness. He was poor. It said he was a beggar. We are spiritually poor. And we need Christ's righteousness to put to our account because we're poor. And he also was unclean. You say, well, where do you get that? Look at the first verse in verse 46. His name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. You know what Timaeus means? It means unclean or polluted. He was Bart, the son of Timaeus, the son of the unclean one. You and I are unclean. We heard that this morning in Isaiah 64:6. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags in God's sight. That's what God sees when we're not saved. He was Bartimaeus. He was blind, he was poor, he was unclean. That's a picture of you and I before we're saved. So that was his condition. Secondly, we see his conviction. His conviction in verse 47, it says this, and when he heard the word of God, and the word of God convicted him. Convicted him of what? That he was not only Jesus of Nazareth, somebody of the despised city, he was the son of David. He was the true Messiah. He was the Christ, the one who came to die for the sins of the world. because he heard. And as you and I hear the word of God, I heard the other day there was somebody telling me about someone preaching gospel in a person's barn for years, having meetings there preaching the gospel. And this person who was unsaved, it was in his barn. And that man never got saved, but 30 years later, he heard the gospel somewhere else, and he said, "Oh my goodness, the Lord Jesus Christ died for me." And someone brought it to his attention, "That is the same gospel that was preached in your barn." He said, "Oh my word, I didn't know that." Why? Because he was blind. Until the Lord opened his eyes, until he had a desire to be saved. And we may be sitting here this morning, and a lot of us, maybe because of our families and so on, we brought into this meeting place, and somehow we think by association, we just float in and become saved. You have to have a personal encounter, like blind Bartimaeus. You have to call out to him. You have to reach out to him. And you have to receive him. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the authority to become the children of God. Have you done that? Because if you haven't, you need to do it. Because we're in Thessalonians at the Bible study, and it was so wonderful to see so many people. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming real, real soon to the air. And who is he coming for? He's coming for only for those who are redeemed. What about those who are left behind? The Bible, as we read in Thessalonians, he will give them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. Those who have heard the gospel over and over and have said no, their hearts will be hardened and they will believe a lie. We don't know what the lie is, but truly, when all the Christians are taken, there'll be all kinds of lies, won't there? Are you ready? Because we are always talking about the signs of the times. And the signs of the times are pointing that Christ is coming soon. But you know what's going to happen before the signs are fulfilled? The sounds. And what are the sounds? A shout. A voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. I wonder what the shout will be. Who is the Lord going to speak to? The unsaved or the world? Or to you and I who are saved? And what's he going to say? What did he say to Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. What about the voice of the archangel? What did he say in John, in Revelation to John? Come on up. Are we going up? And what about the trumpet? That's a gathering. When the trumpet is grown, that was a gathering. Who's going to be gathered together to meet the Lord in the air? The dead in Christ and those who are alive are going to meet the Lord in the air. And guess who's going to hear that sound? You and I who are saved. And those who are not, we hear nothing. And they're going to believe a lie. Are you ready? Because that could happen today. And we don't take it serious. We think it's a joke. It's not. The earth is the battleground for souls. Read Galatians 5, the flesh and the spirit, the word of God and the devil. And it's up to you to decide where you want to be for all eternity. His condition, his conviction, his connection. His connection was when he called out to the Lord and the Lord called out to him. When a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior comes together, there is what? Salvation. Guaranteed. His connection. His conversion. He was changed. He threw away the old things. What about Luke's gospel? Remember the young fellow, the prodigal son, he threw away his garment. His father put around them what? A brand new robe. Put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. It says he threw away his garments, his conversion, and lastly, his consecration. Look at the last five words in the chapter. And he followed Jesus in the way. He followed. That is a picture of a Christian. A Christian is a Christ one, someone who falls in love, being captivated with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who saved us. We're in 1 Thessalonians. In Thessalonians the other night, we were speaking about the Lord Jesus, about a Christian, his walk. The first 12 verses, it says, walk in holiness. In verse 9 to 12, it says, I said, walk in harmony. That really is speaking about harmony, is walking with other Christians in harmony and minding your own business. And the last one was walking in honesty, and that was towards the rest of the world. Those who are without, it says. So walking in holiness, harmony, and honesty. And that is our testimony before this world. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in thy presence. We do thank thee for loving us. We thank thee for Calvary. We thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the only Savior. He is the one, Father, who stands between us and a holy God. He was the one, Father, who bore our judgment. And Father, he is the one who can forgive sins on this earth. Father, we pray that the Spirit of God, the message from your word, would speak to people's hearts even today, and that someone may come to know Christ as their Savior. Part us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.